And not only in this can we find types and shadows of His church and the kingdom that He would set up. And this morning I want you to know not only was Nathan speaking to David in a practical term as far as Solomon would come and build the temple, but he was also speaking to him, I believe, in a spiritual sense, that the Lord would come and He would establish His kingdom and He would establish His church. And my friend, this morning, that's some of the things I want to try to get into this morning with the Lord being our help. I've heard a lot of people say, and maybe sometimes even I have, we talk about what it is to be an old-time Baptist. And this morning, I want you to know, I'm thankful this morning for our heritage. I'm thankful this morning to know where we've come from, that we can search out the Scripture, and the Scripture will point us in the direction of truth. And I'm thankful for that this morning. But all I want you to know this morning is that I am a Baptist. I'm an old-time Baptist. I believe in what the Word of God says. And my friend, I believe that is what we are to be built upon and founded upon, is what the Word of God says. It's true. I believe this morning that the Scripture teaches us that it would be even named, called out from His mouth, that He would name it even from His mouth. And this morning I believe He's done that. When we began to look here at David, no doubt being a great king that he was, we know there that he had overcome the Jebusites that was there in Jerusalem. If you go back and read in the previous chapters, he had overcame them. And we know there that if you read the previous chapter before this, in the sixth chapter, that he wanted to go over there and get the Ark of the Covenant, and they fashioned them a new cart that it might be brought there into Jerusalem. And we know there that there was a man by Uzzah. And we know there that the Scripture teaches us that as these oxen was pulling this cart, that the ark began to get unstable. And we know there that he laid his hand upon the ark to stabilize. And my friend, this morning, that's kind of what I want to get into. I know this morning that people have real good intentions when it comes to the Lord's house and to the service of the Lord. I believe we need to have good intentions. I believe we need to be an encouragement to the Lord's house. I believe we need to be an encouragement to God's people. And I believe in all of my heart, as David was sitting there, if you read on in the sixth chapter, it talks about in the 17th verse, as it says, "And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord." So David had already made a tent there and pitched a tent to place the Ark of the Covenant in. But David, sitting there in his, no doubt, a wonderful house made of cedar, no doubt it was a beautiful place. We know that wood in those days was highly valuable. And he began to look at his life and think, "Here I am sitting in this house of cedar, and the Ark of God hath no house to dwell in." And we know there, as he began to think about these things, it got on his heart. And this morning, I want you to know, as the children of God, there's oftentimes things that get on our mind, that get on our heart, and we begin to sit back and examine those things. And we begin to ponder about those things. And I want you to know, I believe that David had real good intentions about what he felt in his heart that he needed to do. You might say, "Well, preacher, where are you going with it?" David began to sit back and think about all the things, the great journey that the Ark of the Covenant had made. I preached to you here a couple, two or three weeks ago about how the Philistines had come in and taken the Ark of the Covenant because of their willingness to get in front of the Lord. Now, this is some many years later. If I'm not incorrect, I believe it's some 100 years later that this has taken place. But my friend, I want you to understand, as he began to sit back and reflect upon everything, he thought, here it is that I'm sitting in this house of cedar, and the ark of God, the very presence of the Lord, sits in a tent, in a curtain. But I want you to know that God spoke out to him. And I want you to know that God spoke out to Nathan. And he said, you go and tell David. He said, go and tell my servant. He said, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that the children of Israel come out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent, in a tabernacle. He said, David, I didn't ask you to build me a house unto the Lord. He said, I didn't ask you to do that. David had real good intentions about what he wanted to do. And my friend, this morning, I want you to understand there's people in the world today that's got real good intentions about what they want to do. But my friend, I would ask you this morning, is it something that we have sought out the will of God for us to do? Is it something that we've called out to the Lord? God, is this the direction that you would have us to go in this? Is this, God, what you would show us to do? I want you to know this morning, and I guess that's a lot of where our thought is coming from this morning. I still believe in church authority. I still believe this morning that the church has given, that the Lord has given the church authority, and I believe in it this morning. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And I'm not just coming up with it on my own. Honey, it's in here. A person don't just up and decide one day that they're going to go do something because they want to do it. Honey, what kind of shape would I have been in if I just up and decided one day, I guess I'll go preach the gospel. That seems like a real good idea to me. Lord help. There's people in the world today that have that mentality about them. They want to go and do all that they can in service of the Lord. But my friend, it's essential today that we seek out the will of God in every aspect of everything that we do. Everything that we do when it comes pertaining to the Lord's house, he said, listen. He said, I was able to gather with the children of Israel ever since they come out of Egypt. He said, I didn't ask you to build me a house. He said, I was able to dwell with them and go with them and walk with them. He said, I never asked for that. He never asked for that. But he said, I believe the Lord looked upon the heart of David. The Lord already knew out in his foreknowledge exactly what he was going to do. But sometimes if we're not careful, we'll allow ourselves and our enthusiasm to get in front of the Lord. My friend, I believe in all of my heart, it is important, it is so essential that we don't get in front of him. That he leads us and guides us in every aspect of everything that we do. He's the head of the body. He's guiding us. He's directing us in everything. Is there anything that's too big for him? I should have heard a million amen. Is there anything that's too big for God? No. He can direct us in everything, can't he? Listen to me this morning. I realize stuff like this ain't real popular. And boy, I prayed about it before the Lord put it on my heart. But it's essential this morning that we work together as a unified body. As a unified body. That the will of God might be manifest and that he might direct us in every step. Because this morning I don't know which way to go. I don't know the right hand or the left hand. And honey, I certainly don't want to be the blind leading the blind. Honey, I have to ask God for every direction and every step of the way that he might lead me and direct me. I look at these older brethren that this church loves, and the time and the effort they poured into their prayers and supplications to God. Lord, lead me and direct me in what you'd have for me. And that ain't just up to the pastor. That's up to every individual of the body. David, I believe in all of my heart, he had real good influence. But he got in front of the Lord. Nathan said, the Lord said to Nathan, he said, you go tell him. He said, I never asked for that. He began to tell him, he said, in all the places wherein I walked with the children of Israel, he said, I spoke a word with any of the tribes of Israel who I'm commanded to feed with the people of Israel, saying, why build ye not a house of cedar? He says, now therefore shalt thou say unto thy servant David, thus has said the Lord of hosts. He said, I took thee out as a sheep coat from following the sheep to be ruler over my people and over Israel. He goes on to direct him. He said, I've given you a job, David. He said, you do just exactly what I've told you to do. And he said, I'll establish the rest of it. And that's all that we can do this morning is what our little part is. I believe in all of my heart there's no big I's or little U's when it comes to the service of the Lord. But we're all working together to achieve the same goal. No big I's or little U's. If we all just up and decided to do what we wanted to do, how crazy, and I mean, listen, it wouldn't make no sense. There has to be order when it comes to the Lord's house. I believe that. Last couple of two or three Sundays ago, I ain't trying to get off on this. There was a young baby back there, and he was having himself a fit. I believe there ought to be order in the Lord's house. I know this stuff ain't popular, but honey, I want you to know where I stand on some things. And that daddy, I know he was embarrassed. He took that baby out the best way he could, and he disciplined that child. He come to me later on. He said, preacher, I'm sorry. Bless his heart. Babies are going to be babies. And I want them here. But they need to learn. And it's our responsibility to try our best to teach them. It's my responsibility to try to teach our children. I know this morning this might be hard for you, but I want you to know where I stand. We don't just up and decide that we're just going to do something. Don't work that way. This is not a democracy. It's not one man ruling and making all the decisions. That's not how this thing works. When the Lord instituted his church and he set it up, he set it up as a unified body. Listen, I'll get back over here in just a minute. Y'all bear with me. I want to go over here to Matthew and 16. Familiar scripture to you this morning. Matthew and 16. He said, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but the Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, thou shalt be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. This morning, he looked over there, and we all know this. He asked Peter, he said, who do the man say that I am? And he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed be Simon Barjona. He said, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. And he said, upon this rock I shall build my church. Now, there's a group of people, and I'm not out there to run nobody down this morning. but they believe that the church was founded upon Peter. I don't believe that. If you want me to get real technical, I believe the Lord set his church up on the mountain. I believe that. I believe I can prove it to you scripturally. I don't feel the need to go on. But I believe he founded his church up on the mountain. And young people sitting there today, listen, every bit of this is important. It's important. You can go to Isaiah in the 2nd chapter if you want to read about it. You can also go to Psalms in 72, and I believe it's the 16th verse, and read about it. Now, there's some people have different opinions about where he set his church up. But it's just me personally. But what I will say is this. He set her up before he ever left this place. Before he ever left up out of it, he set her up. He didn't leave the responsibility to a bunch of men. He set her up. But he said this. He said, I say unto thee, Peter, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. My friend, we are the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And we are a city, a light that's set on a hill. And everything that we do represents the name of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. Everything. Listen, I can't live above sin. But honey, we can live above reproach. You realize that everything that we do out in the world today represents the Lord's church. It represents the name. I've heard people say, well, how awful it would be. People sit back and say, well, aren't you supposed to, how are you saying this or doing this? Aren't you a representative of the Lord's church? Aren't you a man called of God? Yes, I am. And there's a responsibility in that. There's a new day and age coming on that people believe in what they call the universal church. And folks, that's just a bunch of garbage to me. They say, well, everybody's just the same. Bless your heart, that's not what the Bible says. And I ain't here to run nobody down. That ain't what I'm trying to do. But I want you to know, listen to me this morning. When it comes to the Word of God, I've told you before, honey, I believe in teaching it the King James Version way. I believe that. Jessica said, well, you've said that 2 or 3 times. You ought to know where I stand on the matter. When it comes to the Lord's church, we need to go through the church. I know this stuff ain't popular. You say, well, preacher, what would it hurt if we decided to just do this or if we decided to just do that? Listen to me this morning. David had good intentions, but the Lord said otherwise. The Lord's the head of this fund. Not me. And not you. I've heard people say, I got in a situation a few years ago. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail. There was somebody that come into church that done something that I disagreed with very much. And what they did wasn't really wrong. They had good intentions. They really did. But they went about it in a very secretive way. And when I approached the individual about what they were doing, let me make this very clear. I've not even been here a year. So this was several years ago. Okay? Didn't happen. I called this individual on the phone. And I done just exactly what I believe the scripture teaches. When we have aught against our brethren, we go to our brethren. That's what the Bible says. We don't go run around here running each other down. That's contrary to what the Word of God says. where he lived, I went and seen him personally, but I didn't know where he lived. So I called him on the phone. And I said, "Brethren," I said, "I appreciate what you was trying to do, but I said, I wish you to let somebody know what you do." And his answer to me was, "I was afraid that they wouldn't let me do it if I asked." That's not the way we operate. We've got forms and modes of things that we do. And I realize this morning this might make some of you, listen to me, I ain't trying to make you mad. This is Bible. There's things that's been set up to do it the way that we do it, honey, because that's the way that God has set it up. Listen to me. Bless his heart, he had real good intentions. I believe that. But he tried to go about it in a way, he said, "I was afraid." He said, "I know the Lord put that on my heart." Let me tell you this. You know how many times the Lord's laid something on my heart that I've tried to get appointments. I want to get into all this. I've tried to get appointments to go preach somewheres and go do something. And because of some of the fellowship mess that's going on back home where I used to be raised up at, they wouldn't grant me an appointment. And boy, I'm telling you, God put it on my heart to ask for an appointment. But when that church wrote me back and said, "We will not grant you an appointment to come preach," you know what I had to do? I kicked the dust off my feet and went on to an issue. I don't mean that just up and leave every time you don't get your way. That ain't scriptural either. But it is essential that we follow out the will of the body. Listen to me. I'm going to go over here. Familiar scripture. And ask. He says over here in Acts in the first chapter. He said, "Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, one being ordained to be the witness of us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, or Barnabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Lord, which thou knowest the hearts of all men, shew wherefore these two hast chosen, that they may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas the transgression failed, that he might go unto his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Mice, and he was numbered with the 11. Now listen, they brought forth two. And they cast their lots. And they didn't sit around and moan and go on about the way things happened, but they said, "We're going to go on and serve the Lord." This is what they called out to the Lord. They prayed and they said, "Let the lot fall, weren't we?" Listen to me this morning. When it comes to the Lord's church, it is essential that God Almighty, first and foremost, has the authority. And I believe the church has authority. He's the commissioner. He said, "Church, go out into all the world." Listen, when these brethren go out and they preach, or I go out and preach, I don't go on my own. The church has licensed us. The church has given us the commission to go out. When I baptize somebody, if I ever get the opportunity here, I don't do it on my own. It's under the authority of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. Now, I believe you ought to have a proper administrator. But it's done through and by the authority of the Lord. Nathan told David over there. Let me finish this. We'll move on. He said, talking of his descendants, he said, "But when thy days be fulfilled, thou hast slept with thy fathers," he said, "I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. He said, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not be departed away from him, and I took from Saul, and I put it away before thee. And thy throne and house and thy kingdom shall be established forever, and thy throne shall be established forever. I believe this morning not only was he talking about Solomon that would come and build the temple. As you begin to read about that, you can look over in 2 Kings in the 5th chapter for time's sake and read that. But I'll tell you what David did do. The Lord said, David, it hadn't filled your lot to build a house unto the Lord. But I'll tell you what David did do. God laid it on his heart to start gathering the material. And he started gathering the material. He started gathering the cedar for the wood. And he started gathering the wood and the gold and the silver. He started gathering all the things, all the material up that it was going to take to build the temple. The Lord used him. There may come things down through your life and you'll say, preacher, it just don't seem like things went the way I thought it would. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, things ain't always went the way I thought they would. But I tell you what I want first and foremost when it comes to the Lord's house. This is his house. His house. He told them over there, he said, this house has become as a house of thieves, a den of thieves. But he said, my house should be called a house of prayer. And that's what it is. It's a house of prayer. This is a meeting place. We know this morning that the Lord's house, it's a place that we gather together. It's a meeting place. And boy, we're so blessed to have a beautiful meeting place. But we are the Lord's church. Those of us that have been baptized and united into this body, we're the church. We are. If this building was to be blown away or a flood was to come through, she'd still be standing as long as we gather together. He said that his kingdom might be established forever. And I believe that this morning. I believe there's going to be one old-time church regardless. I believe there will be one. I believe when the Lord comes back, and I don't know when that will be, but I believe there will be one old, at least one old-time church left standing. And I'm talking about the people that's preaching and teaching the truth, the true plan of salvation. I believe that. I know this morning my thought has been scattered. I know this morning, listen to me. I've struggled with this. You know how many times people ask me about my opinion about something? They'll say, preacher, what's your opinion? The previous church I pastored, I'd give them my opinion on things from time to time. But do you know something? That don't mean the body always follows Brother Casey's opinion. I can tell you this right now. I didn't mean to get into all this. But I don't ever plan to be a deciding vote between any. Never want to be the cause of any kind of division. The Lord rules over this body. Not me. And he directs us. He's the one that set her up. And when we decide, listen, you get something on your heart and you think, boy, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. I believe we'll go to church and we'll go do that. Boy, they're going to love that over there. That's a wonderful idea. First and foremost, ask God. Lord, did this line up with your plan? Does this line up with you, God? Is this what you want for us? Let me give you an example of something that happened. We was in a revival, was getting ready to come up over at Hilltop. Excuse me, I didn't mean to call it. Revival's getting ready to come up. I got
got to be cautious, man. We're trying. Revival's coming up at this church. We was in business conference. Boy, my heart, Lord laid it on my heart one night during revival to raise the windows of the church. My heart was beating just 90 miles. Never done this before. This is out of the ordinary. This is different, God. He just kept pounding away. Stood up. I said, I feel like one night, if a church will let us, we need to raise the windows. There was a man that lived close to the church. He was lost. He'd come outside and he'd sit outside on his front porch from time to time. Lord just laid it on my heart. We got into a night or two of revival. The church passed it. We got into a night or two of revival. Service is kind of cold. Somebody said, Brother Casey, didn't you mention to open the windows up? I went around and started raising the windows. Boy, the Spirit of God come into that place. That church come alive. They just lit on fire. Next night, we come back to the Lord's house. Once again, we was in a shape, cold and indifferent. This wasn't where we supposed to be. They said, let's raise the windows up. Let's raise the windows up. Like the window raising what was bringing the Spirit of God in. Honey, when God's people will come together in one accord, the Spirit of God will manifest. It wasn't in the window raising. Didn't he tell Elijah over there? He said, I'm not in the earthquake. He said, I'm not in the fire. He said, but I come. Listen to me. I thought that was a real good idea until they got the idea to start using it as an eye. Let's be careful. And boy, I say this, is it? Let's be careful how we follow the Lord. And let's make sure that His plan line up with the plans that He would have for us in our life and what He would have lined up for the church. It's important. I love the Lord's church. Folks, I hope you understand how special that she really is. I've heard people say that there's been enough blood that's been spilled that could fill up the deepest holler in Macon County. I'm not just talking about American soldiers defending our liberty and our freedom. I'm talking about martyrs who's laid down their life for the cause of the Lord. Who said it's important, it's worth dying for. The truth is important to me. And I hope she's important to you. The Lord's church and her cause, I hope, is important to you. And listen to me this morning. Maybe we ain't always going to be in line with one another. But I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to pack up and go on and serving the Lord the best way that we can. Listen to this. I promise you I'm done. I've got 75 scriptures this morning. I ain't read the three of them. Y'all feel blessed. First Corinthians 14 text. For God is not the author of confusion,
listen to me this morning. We need each and every person here. Every one of us has an important part. I said before, there's no big eyes or little you. You've got something on your heart that God's led you, that you think that we need to do. Listen, bring it before the church. When it comes time to serve in the Lord, he's not the author of confusion, but he's the author of peace. Isaiah, I believe, in over there in the 9th chapter, says he's the Prince of Peace. God has called us to be peacemakers. When you look in the Beatitudes over there in Matthew in the 5th chapter, he said, blessed be the peacemakers, for they shall inherit. I realize this morning there may be the world out there. Maybe this morning I hope I'm not. What I believe. And it ain't about what I believe. I believe it's what the Bible says. It is so important that we follow the will of God. That don't mean that the Lord ain't going to make it happen someday down the road. Maybe it's just not right now. It don't mean that God ain't making preparations and doing something else along the way. So listen to me this morning. He's not the author of confusion. He'll line everything up. And when there is confusion, that comes from us. That comes from the devil. He's the author of confusion. He wants to get everything mixed up. Listen to me. We think about the body. If this hand over here is doing this thing, and this hand over here is doing this thing, and the leg is doing this, listen, there's no unity in that. There's no order in that. You asked me what kind of shape I was in almost a year ago when both my wrists were broken. I couldn't do nothing. I had to lean on somebody else. And when we ain't doing our part, somebody else has to come by and pick up the slack. Let's do our part. Let's work together. And let's do it according to what the Word of God says. That's my message this morning. I pray that it's a help to you. Brother, would you give us a song? Something on your heart this morning.